You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to Scott Clough, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. But today he's in a place called Stillby. Scott, you know, Stillby is a place that I know because I used to have a friend there, but also because when I used to drive towards Mussel Bay, and then on to George and Plettenberg Bay, etc., there was a boat. There's like a yacht, and next to the yacht, there's a sign that makes you turn right towards Stillby, and I always remember that. And it's such a lovely, lovely place when you go there. Yeah, there's a couple of shops here and there and everything, and some beautiful homes, and it's just wonderful. So I'm very, very envious of you being in Stillby.
It is wonderful, Lindsay. I must say, I'm currently sitting here, and I want a picture. I want you to picture this. So
okay, I'm describe just it to us.
I've got my laptop in front of me, so naturally, you know, I'm sort of in semi-work mode. But I'm looking over. I've got a big fire running on my left-hand side, and I've got this very, very, it's like a mirror. The lagoon in front of me, very, very slowly moving because it's high tide now. It is just the most unbelievable picture setting. Now, Stillby is a place that's really dear to me. It's a lovely place here in the Southern Cape of South Africa. So, yeah, I know. Really enjoying myself. And we're spoiled in terms of weather-wise. Weather-wise, it's just phenomenal. I mean, we really had fantastic weather for the past 2 days.
Very good. Now, you can shut up about that now because I've just turned green. Let's talk about the end of the quarter. How was the quarter for you and your clients at PSG Wealth? I think it was interesting, but also quite lucrative.
Yeah, I mean, Lindsay, let's be honest. I mean, if we sat here, you know, let's call it beginning of, you know, this year, and we did. We sat here and we said, well, you know, what do we expect? What do we expect, you know, will happen, you know, this year? We're throwing around different figures and saying, well, we're looking at, you know, maybe we could see a recovery, maybe about 15% growth for the full year, et cetera. And here we sit. It's first quarter done, and we've done pretty much 10%. JSE All Shares done 10% in the first quarter, even after, you know, losing 1.2% for today. You know, literally just shy. You know, when we look at the close, and that's excluding dividends, we're looking at a growth of 9.93%. You know, year to date. So I would say that's a definite win. You know, for the JSE All Share. But I think it's these little pockets. I mean, it's these little pockets within the JSE that's really, you know, made me a little bit more optimistic. And maybe, you know, there's the signs of more things to come. You know, I do think we are a little bit worried, you know, on the valuations of the US. I mean, we've continued to look at that specifically, the valuation of some of these tech companies. And then that could maybe bring, you know, in the second quarter, maybe just bring, you know, I wouldn't say a correction, but maybe just bring the party to a bit of a halt. But hey, then again, with this kind of stimulation in the market, this amount of money that's been pumped into the economies, you know, it'd be very, very tough to call a top. So back to the companies. I mean, we'll chat about a few companies, you know, a little bit later in this program. When I say little companies, it's not necessarily little companies. I mean, companies like Barloworld, Nampak, those companies have been, you know, historically, you know, PPC. I mean, that's been a massive company historically. The company today, it's a company. I think the total market cap is about 3 to 4 billion rand. So not a big company anymore. But historically, that has been one of our, you know, big companies, and it's nice to see these companies coming back, recovering. And we said it, I think 6 months ago when we talked about PPC, you asked me, you know, what do I think about PPC? I mean, just look at what this company has done. Don't want to run forward, you know, on what was actually said. And I told you, you know, the one thing that I'll be, you know, monitoring in the next 6 months is companies like PPC, because that to me is the foundation, excuse the pun, or let's call it pun intended. That's the foundation, the cement foundation of the South African economy. If the likes of the PPC starts recovering and picking up, you know the broader economy is picking up. So, yeah, positive news in general. And I must say, I'm you know, carefully optimistic of Q2 2021.
I'm cautiously optimistic also about the United States of America, because if Mr. Biden gets his way and he manages to spend an enormous amount of money, in other words, $3 to $4 trillion, let me say that again, $3 to $4 trillion on infrastructure, which was completely ignored by Donald Trump and his team, there's going to be a massive, massive, not surge, but certainly bolstering of the value stocks. And I think that's one of the reasons why that we see the Dow Jones doing a little bit better than the S&P, and certain sectors of the US stock market doing better than the tech stocks at the moment. Yeah, $3.5 trillion is an awful lot of money to spend on building roads and bridges and airports and filling in potholes and all that sort of thing. It's an amazing rollout that they've got, and it's not before time, because Obama and Trump didn't do it.
Yeah, Lindsay, I mean, it's phenomenal. Are we talking about these type of figures? And we sort of, you know, we're in the same camp that is currently applauding the U.S. We've got this little golf club. You know, the guys usually, you know, clap at a golf tournament. So there's a little clap. We're all standing on the side and giving this golf club to the U.S. You know, but effectively, they don't have the money. I mean, let's be honest. They don't have the capital to just say, well, okay, let's take this 1.9 and just take this, you know, another, talking about $3.6 trillion. I mean, they don't have it. They're going to actually create larger debt. They're going to print more money. So, but we are applauding it. And why are we applauding it? Because let's be honest, if a country like South Africa, as she came out and said, well, we've got this problems. We need to stimulate the economy. Let's start up our printing machines. Let's print some more rands. Let's just create this massive amount. We don't care about debt. I mean, the first thing we will do, we'll see the likes of ratings agencies, Standard & Poor's, Fitch, you know, Moody's. They will just downgrade us to the worst type of downgrade we've ever seen. You know, our rand will go, you know, sky high against the dollar, and we'll be in a pretty, you know, in an uncomfortable position as a country. Yet when you look at America, that's not happening in America. You know, and you know, the question, you know, keeps on popping up: why is it not really, you know, having the same effect? And the answer lies: there's still some confidence in the dollar. You know, that's the bottom line. And we've seen this over the past few days. Yes, we've seen the 10-year yield pop up again, but the dollar index, you know, did recover somewhat.
Yes.
And also, why do they applaud as well? Because remember, you just mentioned it. If we can get the globe's consumer, namely the U.S. citizen, to keep on spending, yeah, the likes of China, they will keep on producing. The likes of Taiwan's, the Korea's, those countries will keep on producing the toasters and the microwaves and all these things that the U.S. would buy with this amount of stimulation. You know, take it a step forward. You know, these, as I mentioned, toasters and microwaves need to be made. They're not made out of, you know, thin air. They would be made out of commodities like iron ore and copper. You know, that's where countries like South Africa come forward and say, well, we're one of the largest producers of these type of commodities, you know, platinum, palladium, copper, those type of commodities. So, yes, I do agree. I am carefully optimistic, and I do think, you know, looking a little bit forward, I would be very hesitant calling a top or you know, telling people, just watch out. I think a correction or even a crash is around the corner, because, yeah, I seriously can't see it. I can't see it, not to this time of stimulation.
Let's have a look at the spot prices now. The dollar rand is 14.77. That's a near 1% rally for the rand against the US dollar. The British pound against the rand is 20.36. The euro rand is 17.33. The euro dollar is 1.1730, which is another 0.33% rally for the ever resurgent US dollar against the euro. British pound against the dollar, the cable, is 1.3780, which has barely changed. If we go to the gold price, yeah, it's recovered, actually. It's recovered quite nicely. I mean, it's still down $8 in the last 24 hours, but it's above 1700 again, 1704. The platinum price is up 7 to 1189. The palladium price is where, please, Skulk?
Palladium Pass also, you know, up 1.1%, currently trading at $2,618.
Not bad at all. The oil price has been all over the place because of what's been happening in the Suez Canal, all over the place today as well. West Texas is up 0.9% to $61.09 a barrel, but the Brent crude oil price is down 0.25% to $63.99 per barrel. The US 10-year Treasury yield, so important. It's retreating a little bit. Let's call it 1.72%, having been 1.78% a couple of days ago. And Bitcoin is what I'm interested in. Bitcoin,
yeah,
how's
that?
Go.
I mean, it's current,
what's happening?
Currently
there?
Flirting. Currently flirting again with that $60,000. It seems like we want to go break that. Yeah, it's currently trading at $59,000 per Bitcoin. So yeah, let's watch that space. Clearly, there's they want to see that $60,000 again.
Do you know anyone that's made a lot of money out of Bitcoin? I mean, I know having discussed this thing with you for so many months, and we, you know, I don't think you say to your clients, oh, you've got to be in Bitcoin, but you must know a couple of people that have made a fortune.
Yeah, I do. And I'm not one of them. Let's just put it out there.
I wasn't even suggesting that you would be, otherwise you wouldn't be talking to me now.
No, I'm not one of them. Unfortunately, but I do know there's definitely a few people that's come and I would boost. It was sort of, it's that type of, what do I say? It's like having a brother in jail. I mean, you never talk about them, and then suddenly, you know, he's out of everything, and everybody used to talk about it. I mean, this Bitcoin last year, nobody came out and said, well, you know what, I've actually, bought a few Bitcoins and I'm actually positive, because it was trading horrible. It was trading around about the, it's called $5,000
a year ago, 5,000. Now it's 60,000. For goodness sake, it's 12 times. What is 12 times 5? 60, yes. It's gone up 12 times. It's unbelievable.
It is. So, yeah, no, Bitcoin, definitely. I do prefer the older version of Bitcoin, a.k.a. gold. And just to get back to you, I mean, yes, you mentioned it. The gold price, popped up, above the 1,700. I said it, a few weeks ago, where you said you keep on seeing the gold price go and test that, let's call it 1,680. I mean, yes. There's a clear resistance there. We've seen, let's call it... Yeah, support. Sorry, not resistance. Yeah, support. You know, since the beginning of March, we've seen it going tested at 1680 there, the 8th of March. Then we see another test there at the 9th of March. Yesterday, we saw the 1680. This morning again, it just can't break that support. So clearly, there's some strong support around about the 1680. And then that'll be the level that I'll definitely be monitoring very closely. But, while we're trading at these levels, I mean, even a little company that's still making losses, namely Randgold, I mean, even though these companies are doing a little bit better. We've seen recently with all the announcements coming from AngloGold, Goldfields, Harmony, Durban Road, Upper Deep. All these mines are doing extremely well at current levels. So let's hope it continues.
The sad thing is, and we'll talk about that. We won't talk about it later, but I'm just looking at my screen now and it says gold index. I look at all the indices and it says gold index and it says discontinued by the JSE. That is a really sad day. There's no more gold index on the JSE Securities Exchange. Did you know that?
No, I did not. I mean, because there was still a gold index a few weeks ago, gold sector.
No, yesterday it was discontinued. There is no longer a gold index on the JSE. I mean, that was what the JSE was founded upon.
Yeah, I mean, for all the listeners out there, what Lindsay is talking about, I was privileged to be on the physical JSE floor, until the day it actually closed in 1996, and I'm sort of giving away my age now.
Yeah.
But to visualize what Lindsay just said, I mean, when you stood in front of that on the floor and you look up at this main board, and you would pretty much break the board up in thirds. You had the left third, the middle third and the right third. And when you look at the left third, that was pretty much your banks and financials and also property stocks. That was, on the left-hand side on that board.
Yes.
The right third was all the other companies like Richemont, industrial companies, Richemont's, all these retailers, all the industrial companies, the whole middle board, that third,
yes,
were pretty much gold mines. That was the JSE. It was pretty much the whole JSE was driven by gold. If there was a movement on the floor, if you could hear, there was somebody sort of, it was a buzz. It was like an earthquake starting. Then usually, the first thing you did as a trader, you would look up and at the above the door, let's call it above the main board, there was a clock. Naturally, and above the clock, there was two things. They showed you the current rand dollar level, and they'll show you the gold price. That was it. I mean, you could know if there was a movement on the floor when this earthquake started. You can look up, and either the rand then weakened a lot, or the dollar, or the gold price, you know, had a big movement. Now it's a sad day, Lindsay. I mean, but it's totally understandable because up to yesterday when it closed, there was only five mines left on the and I'll mention them now because it's Anglo Gold, it's Gold Fields, it's Harmony, it's Durban Rupert Bertin, and it's Pan African. I mean that's the only five gold mines that was left. So to run a whole, let's call it sector or index, yeah.
South Africa's Stock Exchange, it says here on the SA Business News, South Africa's Stock Exchange has scrapped gold and platinum indexes and it's merged them into one. Very, very sad day, but we move on to the top five major moves on the JSE today. On the upside, Steinhoff up 3.5%, and Resilient, the property company, up 2%, Impala Platinum, in that platinum sector, which is no longer, up 1.75%, African Rainbow Minerals up 1.4%, and Newplat up 1.25%. On the downside, what have we got here? The ones that need to be spoken about, Rennet down 4.5%, Absa Group down 4.4%, big move for the banks there, Pick and Pay down 4.4% as well, and Hammerson down 4.25%. So the local stock's not doing so well despite the strength of the rand. So Absa and Pick and Pay, that's interesting, isn't it?
No, there was I see there was an announcement out on Absa, so that clearly went positive. I can't bring this up on my screen now, you're right. That's on the downside. But I must say there's been a few positives as well. Let's just have a look. I see there was an integrated report, so not really a lot, you know, that can really contribute to Absa being, you know, under pressure today.
Okay, give us the closing JSE indices on this last day of the month and the last day of the quarter. I noticed the S&P is getting goosed up. Give us the US indices first before the JSE, please.
Okay, so as we currently, I mean, that's jumping back and forth. I mean, this morning when they opened, our afternoon, it opened a little bit positive. I mean, with the ADP payrolls that yes, came out, that was a little more positive. Definitely more people being employed, and they mentioned that more people being employed in the hospitality industry, the entertainment hospitality. So clearly, as things open up, you know, we've seen lately that, you know, there's more events, more things happening in the U.S. That is positive. So more people being employed there. So as we currently stand, the Dow Jones are, you know, 11 basis points stronger this morning. For them, you know, S&P 500, that's 65 basis points stronger. And the Nasdaq, I mean, nice recovery, you know, from their recent losses. They're actually up 1.63%.
Very nice indeed. And the JSE, I'm looking at my screen here, 1.2% weaker for the all share. Give us some other give us some other numbers there, if you would.
Yeah, it's a funny day for the JSE because it sort of opened up around about the 1% down level, you know, earlier this morning. But it was a migration because originally, you know, a lot of these resource companies, you know, excluding the platinum, some of the resource companies were under pressure. But as the resource price or commodity prices picked up later today, there was a migration where, you know, the resource companies recovered and they eventually ended down 31 basis points. The industrials, they were under immense pressure, 1.4%, 1.5% down for today. You know, when we look at the likes of Anheuser-Busch, I mean, Anheuser-Busch taking a whopping 3.2%. That's a massive company to have that type of reaction. So 3.2% down for Anheuser-Busch. And we saw the industrial index end the day down 1.5%, and the financials, you know, so clearly, you know, Absa weren't the only company, they down 2.3%. for today. When we look at the value traded on the JSE, value traded was just over 20 billion. So we're looking at 20.5 billion. So in general, not a slow day. You know, you would expect a the period, let's call it just before Easter, to be a bit sharp. But I mean, it's been the last day of Q1 or quarter one. So yeah, I think not a bad trading day, 20.5 billion.
Thank you. Skulk, you're in still buy. Still Bay, as is in English. And you had a beautiful breakfast this morning at a very fine little breakfast spot. Not a gourmet place, but a good spot. Please tell me about your breakfast, because I have to live my life vicariously through you. What did you have for breakfast this morning, looking out over the lagoon?
I mean, I haven't been here in pretty much 3 years, and it's crazy, you know, how things change. You would say, you know, in a COVID year, you would see less restaurants, and I must say the local community clearly stood together. It's this beautiful place. I'm going to actually mention them. It's a coffee shop called, you know, Cookies and Cream, and I mean, I had the most beautiful, wait for it, a babooty omelette. I mean, it was just
explain
just
to people what babooty is, because we've got quite a large international listenership at the moment. What is babooty?
Babooty, I mean, that's and I think
and keep it brief.
Lot of South Africans might attack me here, but this is, I call it a local, like a Cape Townian dish. It's not curry. It's not pure curry, but it's a mince curry. But it's a sweet mince curry. It is lovely.
Oh, it's a Cape Malay dish, isn't it? I mean, it's steeped in the Cape Malay tradition in Cape Town. Is that right? Yes.
Correct. Mm. Correct. And again, I might be wrong, but this is how I know that. And they've put this in the most fluffy omelette. Hey, Lindsay, you know what? Before we, you know, go online tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I think I just might just go and pop in and have another one.
You're so greedy. Mm. Okay. Skulklo is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape, sometimes in the Western Cape, but he doesn't seem to be in the Western Cape much anymore. He's always in either Hermanus or now in Stillby. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. He'll be back with me tomorrow for the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.